So we are holding on Nun Gimel Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. We talked yesterday about the contrast between Bnei Yehuda and Bnei Galil, where the people of Yehuda were careful with their enunciation and with their wording and whatever, so that everybody would clearly understand what they say, whereas the Bnei Galil, we said, were more careless with both of them, with the pronunciation, with the choice of words and whatever. And we mentioned the related to that, the concept of Dvar Chochma, of certain Tanoim and Amoroim mainly, we said, who spoke with Lashon Chochma, like they used... they used very figurative language in such a way that only those who need to know what they're talking about will understand and the rest won't. So first, the Gemara is going to give us an example of another one of these kinds of things where a person has to choose their words carefully. Also, we had at the end where Rabbi Yeshua had said that at various times a woman and a boy and a girl at one time or another bested him in an argument. So here we have a similar thing where another one of the Tanoim was bested by a woman in an argument. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi Aglili Habaka Ozel Be'urcha. Rabbi Yossi Aglili was walking on the road, Ashkecha Levruya, and he met up with Bruya, the famous Bruya, the Talmud Chacham, the daughter of Rav Hanani ben Tradyan, and the wife of Rav Meir. We know in many places in Chas how much of a chachmonis she was. Anyway, Amar la be'ezer derech neilach l'Lud. He asked her, it was a crossroads, which way do we go to get to Lud? Amar le, she says to him, Glili shoyte, you foolish person from Galil. Loi kach omru chachamim al tar besicha im isha. Didn't the chachamim say, don't speak too much with women? You could have said it shorter. You didn't have to use all four words. You could have just asked shortly, which one to Lud? There's also a vort that's brought from the Kotzker and from a couple of other people that her objection was, Hayitachin, what do you say, Nelech, we should go. Hayitachin, you're putting yourself together with a woman who's not even related to you in the same word. There's a similar vote brought when Potiphar's wife is trying to seduce Yosef, and Yosef tells her absolutely not. So the expression in the pasuk is "Ve'ich esa haroa grelo zes." How could I do this tremendous evil? "V'chatos si lelekim," and I would sin against Hashem. What do you mean I would sin? It would be also for both of them. Arias is also for Shevmet, certain Arias, including Eishes Ish, are also for Bnei Noach as well. The vote is similar to this. He didn't even want to put himself with her in the same words. So you didn't want to say the word v'chatanu, which would imply that there's any kind of connection between them. So the same thing over here, then Bruya is criticizing Rabbi Yossi Aglili for putting himself in the same word with her.
In the same as her when she spoke to him.
She spoke to him, but he's replying. So when he's replying, yeah.
She did, yeah.
Right.
So that's
more. Okay. Another thing about Bruya, which connects now back with what we talked about yesterday about learning Torah, about how important it is for when a person is learning Torah again to use the right language to learn the material the same time using the same language. So now the Gemara is going to talk about a few different things regarding learning Torah. The Gemara says, Bruya ashkachti lahu talmidya da hava kagoris bilachisha. Bruya one time saw a certain Talmud was learning quietly. He wasn't using his voice in learning. It could mean that he was just learning. It could be he was just looking at it with his eyes. It could mean that he was whispering it, but whatever, he wasn't actually saying it out. It could be he was just moving his lips. Whatever it was, he wasn't actually saying it out so distinctly. Butchabe, she kicked him. Omrulo, she says, Loikach Kosuv, doesn't it say like this in the Pasuk, Arucha Bakurlo Shmura, arranged in all and preserved, which means Im Arucha Baramachevarim Shalcha, which means if the Torah is arranged in your 248 Evarim, so including in particular you speak when you're learning Torah, you don't just mouth the words and you don't just look with your eyes or whatever, Mishtameris, then it'll be preserved. This is, by the way, one of the explanations it's brought why we shuckle when we daven and learn this way. All Ramach Evorim are involved. It's not just your mouth. V'imlav einem mishtameres. And if not, then it's not going to be preserved. So it's important for you to learn Torah using your voice. There's many different places in Chassidus that talks about different ideas behind it. In fact, there's the idea, al pi halacha, a person is not yotze Talmud Torah with hear her only, with only thinking. The Alter Rebbe talks about in Tanya, because after all, Torah has to be brought down into Olam Hazeh Gashmi, so therefore you have to use your Gashmiistic voice and your body in order to learn it. There's one place where the Rebbe talks about that The idea is if you just learn Torah with your mind, then you're not mevato yourself to it. Your mind is the highest part of you. There's a reason why there's a reason why your head is physically the highest part of you. So then like you're only using your mind for it, but you're not ready to be mevato and use your lower faculties, including dibur and including dibur in the learning of Torah. Whereas when you use dibur, you're showing that you're ready to give over everything, not just your machshava, but also your lower faculties of dibur and eventually maisa to learning Torah. So therefore, so then it'll be preserved, but if not, then not. And in fact, the Gemara says, Tana Talmud Echad Hoya L'Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer, or Rabbi Lozer, it says on the side, or Rabbi Lozer ben Yaakov, it says here on the side, had a Talmud, Shoyashonim L'Achash, he would learn Torah quietly, and the result was, L'Achad Gimel Shonim, Shachach Talmudai, after 3 years, he forgot his learning, because it didn't stay with him. Tana, and we learn similarly in a Braisa, Talmud Achad Hoyle Rabbi Eliezer, Shinis Chayev Sreif Alamokim. There was a Talmud that Rabbi Eliezer had who was Chayev Minashamayim to be burnt. Now, why was he that? So Marsha says this is the same Talmud, as we said before, who used to learn quietly and eventually forgot his learning. We know it says in Pirkei Avos, Kol Hashecheach Davar Achad Mimishnasoi, Ma'ala Alavakos of Kila Mischayev Benafshoi. So he was Mischayev Benafshoi, and therefore, he deserved Min HaShemayim to be burned.
How would he learn silently? Because in order to learn, they didn't have
Well, first of all, they had Tanakh written down, of course. They may have, right, in Rebbe Eliezer's time, they didn't have Mishnayos written down yet. They did have Megillah Sadarim. They did have, you were allowed to write down private notes of what you learned. You just weren't able to publish them, so to publicize them, among others. So you could have been learning silently from those. The truth is, based on various things, that it seems that in those times, nobody had the concept of just reading with your eyes like we do nowadays when we read. When you were reading, it was in those days, it still meant moving your lips. But the thing is, you could be doing it, you could just be mouthing it without actually saying anything audible, or just doing it in a whisper. So this Talmud was doing one of those, apparently. Anyway. So he was Chayiv Sreif al-Mokim. Rabbi Yaakov Emden gives a different reason why he was Chayiv Sreif. Rabbi Yaakov Emden refers to a Gemara in Kedushin that mentions how Rabbi Tarfon and various other Chachamim would tell their Talmudim, be careful, don't allow me to be alone with my sister or with my niece or whatever it is, different people that you're not allowed to be in Yichudin. And the Gemara says one time there was a Talmud in that time. It actually says it was a Talmud of Rabbi Tarfon, but whatever. Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Eliezer lived in the same time, who made fun of that. What are you so worried about? The result was, the Gemara says, eventually he was nichshol b'chamoisoi. He ended up accidentally having relations with his mother-in-law without realizing. So that could also be now, without realizing. Apparently, yes. Yeah, so I guess, but still, he was nischayev sreif alamokim because that's the punishment for somebody who has relations with his mother-in-law. Anyway, so whatever, he was chayev sreif alamokim. Amru, but in Shemayim they said, Hanichu loy, leave him alone, Sha'odam gadol shimish. Because after all, he did serve a great person. He not only learned Torah, but he served, like we learned previously, Gdol Shimusha, Yosem Limuda, Rabbi Eliezer. That schus will save him from the burning that he needs. And if it means that he was Chayiv Sreifa because he forgot his learning, then the vote was he may have forgotten his learning, but he didn't forget the actual middos and things that he learned while serving Rabbi Eliezer. That alone is enough to save him from the severe punishment. Okay, more on this topic of learning Torah with a voice and then enunciating it clearly. Amale Shmuel of Yehuda, Shinina, the sharp one, Psach Pumich Kori, Psach Pumich Tani. Open up your mouth and read words of Tanakh, and open up your mouth and learn words of Mishnayos. Ki Hechit Skayim Bich, this way the Torah will be preserved by you, like we said, Arucha Bakor Lushmura, V'sorich Chai, and that way you'll live long. Shenema, ki chayim heim l'moitzeihem, as the Pasuk says, they are life, the words of Torah are life for those who find them. Ulchol besorei marpe, and for all of his flesh, for all of his body, it's a healing. So what is l'moitzeihem? Altikri l'moitzeihem, elo l'moitzeihem b'peh. It means for those who bring them out with their mouth. In other words, they don't just look at it with their eyes and they don't just move their lips, but they actually make it heard when they're learning. That's then it's ki chayim heim. Another piece of advice that Shmuel gives Rabbi Yehuda, Amalei Shmuel Rabbi Yehuda, another piece of advice for life, Shinina, sharp one, Chatoif ve'echol chatoif ve'ishti, grab and eat, grab and drink. In other words, whenever you have an opportunity to eat or to drink, don't pass it up. The Alma does, l'nimine kehilula dami, because the world that we're going away from is like a wedding. It's here today, gone tomorrow, like a chuppah, like a wedding, which is gone soon. So grab opportunities when you have them. Now, of course, on one level, it means begashmius, because especially people like Shmuel and Rabbi Yehuda, when they're eating, they're not stam eating, they're using it for kedusha, and therefore grab every opportunity that you have to do that. On another level, of course, it means beruchnius, grab every opportunity you have to learn a vort of Torah, to do a mitzvah, because you're not going to have the opportunity soon after 120. The Rebbe Rashab used to say that it also includes the idea that nowadays in Golos, especially in Ikvas de Mashiach, there's no Seder to the Avodas Abirurim. Like this, usually you have to start small and then work your way up. But nowadays, there's nothing of that. Chatoife, cho, chatoife ishti. Grab whatever opportunities you have. Soon Mashiach is going to be here, and we're not going to have the opportunity to be doing more Avodas Abirurim. Similarly, Omalei Rav L'Rav Hamnuna, Bni im yesh lacha, hativ lach, if you have, Rashi says, if you have money, hativ lacha, do good for yourself with it. In other words, use it to benefit yourself, to enjoy yourself. And of course, also hativ lacha, may do good for yourself, the ruchnius, by giving tzedakah of it. She'en b'sh'ol tainug, because in sh'ol, and in the caver, there's no enjoyment. Ve'ein la'moves hisma'meya, and death doesn't. There's no telling death to wait for you. So in other words, you may pass away all of a sudden, and you haven't had the opportunity to use it. So you're going to say, I shouldn't use up all my money when I'm alive. I have to leave over choik for my children. Choik means food. The answer is, don't think that way. B'sh'ol miyagiblach, who's going to tell you when you're in the grave what your children are doing with it? They might waste it. They might not use it appropriately. B'nei Adam, domim l'ispe asada, you should know, people are like grass. Grass in the field. Halodon notitzin v'halodon noivlin. You always have some are growing and some are fading away. Meaning, in other words, Rashi says, everybody comes with their own parnasa. You have the expression in Gemara Tainis, Man de yoiv chai yoiv mizoni. Hashem, who gives life, also gives. Actually, the expression there is a little bit different. But that's how it's usually paraphrased. But whatever. The point is that Hashem gives life. Hashem also gives mazon. So each person has their own mazel and their own mazon. You don't necessarily have to leave over a big fortune for them. Because if they have the schus, if they have the mazel, then they'll have their own. And if you just give them, you're not going to reveal your own mazel. There is in fact a Gemara in Gittin where it says that Resh Lakish, when he passed away, all he had left was one calf of saffron, of marika, of saffron. And he said on himself, look at this. The pasuk says, "Va'ozvela chelam." They leave over their wealth for others, meaning that he felt bad. Ha'itachen. It means that I spent a little extra time learning. I spent a little extra time earning money that I didn't need for myself, and now I'm passing away, and I could have used that extra little time for learning Torah. Yeah, whatever. Okay. Yeah, I think so. I'm not sure. Anyway, Marika, maybe real saffron, which is fairly expensive. It could be fake saffron. Yeah, whatever. The point is, in other words, the Gemara is saying over here, so you have to work with the resources that the Eibishter gave you in this world. Use it for tzedakah, use it for avodas abirurim, whatever. Don't worry about what's going to be with the next generation. They have to make their own way. They have to make their own way in the world. Also, Marsha points out that the Gemara is also hinting at, you have Psukim and Kehelos that express this idea also, and very appropriate as Man Groma, because Kehelos is associated with Sukkos. You know, in Ashkenazic Kehelos, they read Megillas Kehelos during Sukkos. Anyway, you have Psukim over there that express the same idea, where Shlomo HaMelech is feeling bad that I'm leaving over my wealth to who's going to come after me, who knows if he's going to use it properly, who knows if he's going to waste it or use it for bad purposes. Shlomo HaMelech himself went through that. His son, Rechavam, was nothing of his caliber, and he wasted all the resources that Shlomo left for him. Anyway, so that's the Gemara saying over here, a similar kind of idea. Okay, getting back to learning Torah. Amar Rabbi Shur ben Levi, Hamahalach baderech ve'ene imei levoya. A person is walking on the road and he has nobody to accompany him. And the problem is the roads were very dangerous. So Yasik Batoda, what he should do is learn Torah while he's on the road. And the Torah will be his Lavoya. Shinema ki Livyas Chein Hein. The Pasuk says they are a Livyas Chein for you. The simple meaning of Livyas Chein means like a garland, like a wreath that gives you chein, that gives you a grace in front of people. But the Gemara is dashing Livyas Melosh and Lavoya. Marshall points out there's also a connection between chein and traveling on the road. We say in Tfilas Aderech, Usneni Lachein or Lachesed or Lachem, Bisitneni Lachein or Lachesed or Lachem. Then Rabbi Shurban Levi continues, Chosh b'roisho yasek b'torah. If a person has a headache, he should learn Torah. And the idea is, in other words, the Torah will cure him of his headache. Now, Marsha talks about, you do have a vote, the Gemara mentions elsewhere, ein misrap in medivei Torah. You're not allowed to use Torah, you're not allowed to use learning Torah to heal yourself. So there's a few possibilities. One of them is that it means that, one possibility is that chosh b'roisho doesn't mean he has a severe headache. It means he's feeling he's going to get a headache. So then what he should do is, that's allowed. You're allowed, for example, to say psukim or tilim or whatever in order to prevent yourself from getting sick. Once you're sick, you're not allowed to use divrei Torah to heal yourself, although there's details in that. You can have other people can learn Torah and say tilim and whatever on your behalf, and you can just be saying tilim for the schus of it itself, not specifically for healing, but whatever. Anyway, so... You're supposed to be learning Torah anyway, right? So one idea of it is also the fact that you have a headache, and even though a headache, or you often have, a person has a headache, it's hard for them to speak. It hurts their head. Nevertheless, Yasek Batoda, don't allow that to prevent you from learning Torah. Shenema, ki livyas chein heim l'reshecha. The Pasuk says, they're a garland of chein for your head. So in other words, it'll help your head. Similarly, chosh b'groino yasek b'torah. If a person has a sore throat, he should learn Torah. Shenema, because the same pasuk is v'anokim legagurei secha. It'll be like a necklace around your neck. So we see that the Torah has good effects on your neck, on your throat as well. Chosh b'mei of yasek b'torah. Also, if a person has a stomach ache, he should learn Torah. Shenema, because the pasuk also says, Rifus tehila sharecha. It'll be a later pasuk in Mishle says it will be a healing for your navel, your belly button, which is the center of your stomach. So in other words, it'll have a good effect on your stomach. Choshbatz moisav yasek b'torah. Also, if a person is having pain in his bones, he should learn Torah. Shenema, because that same pasuk continues for shikui latzmeisecha, that Torah will be like a healing potion for your bones. And in general, even if a person has aches and pains in his entire body, he should still learn Torah, Shenema, and again, both, that he shouldn't allow it to prevent him from learning Torah, and that the Torah will help be a refuah for him. Shenema, because the Pasuk says, the Pasuk we quoted before, says, continues, for his entire body, it'll be a healing. So besides the simple sense that we're talking about a headache or sore throat or whatever, there's a vort, the Tosfos Bracha, which is the Torah Tmimah, also besides that he wrote notes on Chumash, on the Drushes of Chazal and Chumash, which is in Chumash Torah Tmimah, he also wrote a sefer of his own vertlach called Tosfos Bracha. He says the Gemara may mean over here in a spiritual sense. Chosh B'roshay, for example, is a person whose head is full of things that it shouldn't be. Chosh B'groine is a person who maybe is having a problem with eating things that could also mean maybe he doesn't say about not saying things that he shouldn't. He talks about, let's say, for example, he has a yetzahara for eating macholos asuris. So learning Torah will help him overcome that. Similarly with the stomach and the bones, each of them represents some other kind of problem, some other kind of challenge that he's facing miruchnius. So Torah will help him overcome that. More on this, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Bar Chiya, Boyer Eish Loik Midas HaKadosh Baruch Midas Bas of Adam, come see, the way Hashem does things is not the way that human beings do things. Midas Bas of Adam, Adam Noisin Sam Machaveri, in Midas Bas of Adam, you give a medicine, one person gives a medicine to another, a doctor prescribes you a medicine, Lozei Yafa V'Lozei Kosher, it's good for one part of your body, it's not so good for the other part of your body, but you can't help it, you need to cure the whatever it is that you have. So the fact that it had every medicine has side effects. So, okay, that's how it is. You take your chances with the side effects. Avala Kadosh Baruch Hu Ein Kein, when the Eibishter gives us medicine, it's not like that. Nosan Torah Yisrael, he gave the Torah to the Jewish people, and there's no side effects. Samachayim b'chol gufa, it's a healing elixir, it's a healing medicine for his whole body. Shenemo l'chol b'sorei marpe. Amar Rav Ami. So Rav Ami says it further in this connection. My dichtiv, what does it mean? A pasuk ki noim, another pasuk in Mishle, ki noim ki sishmerem bevitnecha. It'll be pleasant when you keep them in your inside, in your stomach. Yikoinu yachdav asfasecha. They, meaning these, we're talking of the words of Chochma, the words of Torah, will be established together on your lips. Meaning, emesai divrei Torah ne'imim, when are words of Torah pleasant? When does a person have pleasure from learning Torah? Bizman shetishmerem bevitnecha, when you preserve them in your stomach, meaning that you keep them and you don't forget them. The reason why the stomach, by the way, we know that Torah is mazin lanefesh. So literally, you absorb it and you digest it. Beruchnius, as the Alter Rebbe talks about in Tanya. So you have to keep it in your stomach. The emesai tishmen, and then it'll be pleasant to you. The emesai tishmen and bivitnecha. And how do you go about? How do you make sure it gets preserved in your stomach and you actually retain it? Bismanshi koinu yachdav asfasecha, when it's established together on your lips. In other words, when you say it clearly with your mouth, not like we said before, not whispering, not stumbling over it or whatever. Then you'll remember it. This goes back to what we were saying before, that when you learn Torah with your voice, then you remember it. I wouldn't say the Chassidim were impressed by these dictum teachers.
They were more careful.
All right, let's go on. Tell that later, actually. But I think that's going to go far afield. But in general, I think the early Chassidim were not really that impressed by the Balei Dikduk, precisely because, like you said, many times they turned out to be maskilim. But in general, I mean, we know, you know, the Maharil, the Alter Rebbe's brother, mentions in his Haskama to an early edition of the Alter Rebbe's Siddur that the Alter Rebbe used to laugh at the Medaktikim, who make up all kinds of new complicated rules of Dikduk, and the point is, a person gets so into the Dikduk of davening that they forget about concentrating on Pirush HaMilas and about Chassidus and whatever. So the Alter Rebbe made sure when he wrote the Siddur to begin with that it's as accurate as possible, Alpi Dikduk. That way, a person gets used to from childhood davening Alpi Dikduk, and that way later on they don't need to go and learn all these complicated rules which are going to distract them from the deeper meaning of davening. So we see that there's a little bit of a tension there. On the one hand, you want to follow dikduk. On the other hand, a person doesn't need to fartifsich in it, because then it distracts him from the more important parts of Torah. Okay. Onward, Rab Zera Amar Mehach. Rab Zera says there's a similar, another pasuk that expresses the same idea about the importance of speaking out words of Torah. Simcha la'ish b'manei piv. There's happiness for a person in what he speaks out. Ona means to speak up out loud of his mouth. The davar be'itay matov, and a word, each thing in its time, how good it is. Meaning, emasai simcha la'ish. When does a person have simcha from his learning Torah? Bizman shemane b'fiv. When there's speaking up in his mouth. In other words, again, when he speaks out the words of Torah. The word onah can mean to answer. The word onah can also mean to speak up. Like vayan iya vayoma. He's not answering anybody. He's speaking up and saying. So it's, yeah. Loshanach, or another expression, another meaning of the pasuk, emasai simcha la'ish b'manei piv, when is there happiness for a person with the words of Torah that he speaks out with his mouth, bizman shadavar be'itay matov, when he has a good word in its time. Meaning, in other words, Rashi says two explanations. Number one, that he knows the halacha is appropriate to the time of year. So when it comes Sukkot, he knows the halachas of Sukkot. That's v'davar be'itay. He knows the relevant halachas at the proper time. Or another one is that he has an answer, k'sholim mimenu, dvar halacha in general, that he's able to answer when he's asked something in halacha, then that's when he has the real simcha. That he's able, and that comes from mana piv, that comes from having spoken out the words of Torah clearly with his mouth. Rabbi Yitzchak says, never mind psukim from Mishlei. We have this idea expressed actually in a posuk in the Torah. It's very close to you, this word. Yeah, it's the title page of Tanya. In your mouth and in your heart to do it. Meaning, emasai korav elecha, when is the Torah close to you? Bizman shebeficha uvavav chalasoise. When it's in your mouth and in your heart to do it. In other words, when you're speaking out words of Torah with your mouth. And then also you understand, and also understanding them in your heart. Rava Amameha, Rava says there's another pasuk, this time a pasuk in Tehillim, that expresses the same idea. Tavas libo nasataloi, the pasuk says, you, Hashem, give him the desires of his heart, va'areshes sfas of balmonata sela, and the utterance of his lips. Areshes means what he says with his lips, like we have in Rosh Hashanah davening, areshes sfasenu. So va'areshes sfas of balmonata sela, you never held back the utterance of his lips, meaning emasai tavas libra nasataloi, when does a person have that Hashem gave him the taiva, the desire that he wants in his heart, bisman sha'areshes when the utterance of his lips is not held back. In other words, when Hashem gives a person the das to realize that he has to speak out the words of Torah. So then what he wants in his heart, tavas libay, which is to be able to learn and remember and understand the Torah, will be accomplished. Does it say about learning, about sitting in a shiur and listening to somebody speaking out loud? It could be. I mean, I don't know about that. I mean, it's still, the Gemara is going to talk about later on the importance of reviewing what you learned. So I guess even the vort is, even if you're sitting in a shiur and mostly being passive and mostly listening to the magid shiur, it's, you know, afterwards you should review it yourself and say the words out for yourself, and that'll help you remember it. Yeah. Rava Rami, so Rava, speaking of this pasuk, Tavas Libra Nasataloi, Rava pointed out a contradiction between the two halves of the pasuk. So on one level, we're saying what it means is the two halves go together, that a person has Tavas Libra when Areshes Sfas of Balmanata, that then when he speaks out the words of Torah, then he has the desire of his heart, which is to remember and understand the Torah that he learned. But on another level of it, it sounds like it's talking about davening, Tavas Libra, he's davening for what he needs. So then in that case, there's a contradiction. Ksiv tavas libra nasataloi. One pasuk says, the first half of the pasuk says, you give him the desire of his heart. So in other words, it's only in his heart, he's only thinking of it, and already Hashem is granting what he wants. And then the pasuk continues that the utterance of his lips you never held back. In other words, he has to speak out what he wants with his lips. So what is it? So zocha tavas libra nasataloi. If he's zoicha, then he gets what he wants before he even has to say it. Al derech, like in the pasuk, which we say in Anenu, v'ayah terem yikro v'aniena. Before the person even calls out to Hashem, then Hashem already answers him. Loy zocha, if he doesn't have that level of schus, then v'aresh esfasa b'ama natasela, then he needs to actually say it out with it, then he actually needs to say it out with his lips. In the first interview, you still should. I mean, but like this, you can have that a person's tefillah is answered before he even said it. Not sure. Yeah. Which Tana he's... Oh, yeah, it sounds familiar, but I can't place it just now. Yeah, that even after the table was set, the Tana would still daven that Hashem should give me my friend. I don't think it was a Tana. I think it's a Chassidish Maise, but I'm not sure. Maybe, I don't know. Even if you already have it, then you should still daven, yeah. After all, Hashem looks forward to the tefillah. Yeah. There is, by the way, a different explanation in the back of the Gemara. It brings an explanation from Maratz Chayas. We know that when Shlomo HaMelech built the Bais HaMikdash and he davens, that anybody who comes and davens here, Hashem should accept their tefillahs. So he draws a distinction between a Jew and a Goy. He says a Jew, Hashem shouldn't always give him what he wants, because sometimes he's asking for something that's not really good for him and Hashem knows better. As opposed to when the Goy davens, then give him whatever he wants, because otherwise he's going to deny and say that Hashem doesn't have the power. So he explains our Gemara over here in a similar vein, that if a person has the schos, then Hashem looks at what he's thinking, knows what he really needs and really doesn't need, and gives him appropriately, as opposed to if he doesn't have that level of schos, okay, he said it out with his mouth. He says he wants it. He may not know better. He may not realize it's not so good for him, but give it to him anyway, because otherwise, yeah. Okay. Tonad Veira Belezben Yaakov. Kol Mokum, we mentioned the word Sela over here. So Kol Mokum Shenema Netzach Sela Vo'ed, any place where it says these phrases, Netzach or Sela or Vo'ed, it means forever. Ein Loi Hefsek Olamas. It's something that never ceases. We see that. Netzach dichtiv ki lo la olam oriv v'lo la netzach ektiv. Hashem says, I will not argue forever. You know, when a person has done averus, I'm not gonna punish him and argue with him about that he did averus forever. Eventually he's gonna do tshuva and I'm gonna forgive him. V'loila netzach ektzayf, and I won't be angry for eternity. So we see Rashi says with this and each of the other psukim, you have the fact that it puts the word netzach together with olam shows that they're synonyms. That therefore the word netzach is a synonym for olam. Marsha says a little bit differently. That it's adding not only la olam but even because la olam itself could mean something which is only for a while, like Va'avodei La'olam, by an Eved Ivri, which is only 50 years. So Netzach adds to that, it means it really is eternal. Sela, Dichtiv, Kasha Shemanu Kein Ra'inu Be'ir Hashem Tzvah. Because just like we heard is what we saw in the city of Hashem Tzvakas in Yerushalayim, Be'ir Elekeinu, the city of our God, Elekim Yechonenehu Ad Olam Sela. Hashem should establish Yerushalayim forever Sela. So again, we see that the word Sela is next to the word Olam, and it adds to the word Olam, so it means it should actually, so it's actually something She'ein La Hefzik, which has no interruption. And va'ed dichtiv Hashem yimloch la'olam va'ed, because the pasuk says Hashem will reign la'olam va'ed. So again, the va'ed adds to la'olam. So we see that each of these expressions means something that ein la'hefsek, that has no interruption. Yeah. Simen anokim l'choyav luchos choru. So now we have a simen for the next four things. The next four things that we're going to say in the Gemara over here that Rabbi Eliezer or Rabbi Lazar, it says on the side, said in connection with learning Torah. We quoted this part of the pasuk earlier when we said that if a person has a sore throat, he should learn Torah because the Torah is like anokim legagore secha, like a necklace for your neck. So why is the Torah compared to a necklace? If a person makes himself like a necklace, which is loose around the throat, it's not, you know, you don't tie a necklace on tightly onto the throat, and and you don't always see it. When the person picks up his chin, you can see the necklace, but not when he has a chin down, his chin, his beard, and whatever cover it. So it's not always seen. So if a person acts like that, Talmudim is kaim biyodoi, if a Talmud Chacham acts like that. So number one is he's rough. He's not harsh with people. He's gentle with them, like the way a necklace is gently around the neck. And also he's not nira all the time. He's not all the time going out into the marketplace. Most of the time he's sitting and learning Torah. And only sometimes does he go out and about. So then Talmudim is kaim biyodoi, then his Torah will be preserved in his hands. That's another explanation, yes, that it means also he's not always showing off that he's a Talmud. In fact, the Nira Ve'en and Nira, according to that, means on the one hand, we talked about yesterday, the Gemara in Bava Metzia, that there are certain things that a Talmud Chacham should say different than the truth. One of them it mentions over there is if they ask him, did you learn a certain Masechta, he should say no. On the other hand, Tosfos points out, Vishinantam, Shea Divre Torah Mechododin Beficha. Oh, I think it's also have you learned it, but whatever, yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I think that's how Rashi says it over there. Anyway, but on the other hand, Tosfos points out over there, it says, Vishinantam, Shea Divrei Torah, Mechudodin Beficha, the words of Torah have to be sharp in your mouth. Somebody asks you a question, you immediately should have the answer. So it means both. He has to be Nira, that he's shown to be a Talmud Chacham when people ask him. But on the other hand, Ve'in Nira, but he's not boasting about it where it's not necessary right now for answering a question or something. So yeah, it includes that also. So then, ve'im lav ein talmud meskayim. If a person doesn't act like that, then he's not going. Then his gemara, then his learning is not going to be preserved by him. Va'amar Rabbi Elazar mai dichtiv l'choyav ka'arugas aboisim. Here's another one. A pasuk in Shir Hashirim. His cheeks are like a bed of spices. Aruga is a plot of land in a garden. So what's the comparison? If a person makes himself like a plot of land in a garden, where everybody steps around on the plot, meaning, in other words, Rashi says he doesn't have gasus, he's a humble person, he doesn't have gasus or ruach, and he also acts like perfume or spices that everybody can use to perfume themselves, meaning that he teaches Torah to other people, then his learning will be preserved by him. If not, then his learning will not be preserved by him. And a third one, Va'amar Rabbi Elazar, my dichtiv luchos even, when it says the luchos of stone, the point is, why does the pasuk have to mention stone in particular? Why does it have to mention the material b'chlal? And anyway, Maharsha points out, the luchos we know were made out of sapphire. It's not stam any kind of stone. It's a special one. So why the word even? So it means we're going to douse in the word luchos as related to the word l'chayayim, which means cheeks. You have a similar kind of thing. When it's the same pasuk that we said, l'choy of karugas aboisim, Rashi on the pasuk brings over there, and Shir Hashirim over there brings in the medrash, that l'choy of refers to the luchos. So here we have the other way around. The word luchos refers to l'choyayim, refers to cheeks. So im adam mesim atzmos l'choy of ke'even zu, she'en nimchos, if a person makes his cheeks, when he's learning Torah and saying out the words like a stone, she'en nimchis, which doesn't get erased, doesn't get worn away by people stepping on it. So the same thing, he doesn't care. He doesn't mind that his cheeks and his mouth and whatever are constantly being used for learning and are getting worn away. He doesn't feel like it's going to wear him down to do that. So then, Talmudim Eskayim Biyadoi, then his learning will be preserved by him. V'imlav, ain't Talmudim Eskayim Biyadoi, if not, then not, because he's going to get tired of saying the words, and then he's going to start learning quietly, and as we said before, then he's going to forget his learning. V'amar Abulaza Mai Dichtiv Chorus Ala Luchos, what does it mean? It says that the words of the Aseres Adibros were carved on the Luchos. What's the word Chorus? Usually the word for it would be Chokok or whatever. It means, if the first luchos had never been broken, then the Torah never would have been forgotten by the Jewish people. Because chorus implies, again, it's carved in. It's something that it's carved in, and it would have been permanently carved in. Yeah, it was Ma'aseh Elokim. It would have been permanently carved in, and they never would have forgotten it. Rav Acha bar Yaakov Amar Af Ein Kol Umah V'Loshen Shelates Behen. Another point is, if the Luchos HaRishonis had never been broken, then no nation or no people who speak another language would have ever been able to rule over the Jewish people. Shenem Choros Al Tikri Choros El Acheros, as we say in Pirkei Avos, Al Tikri Choros El Acheros. Over there we say Shein Lacha Ben Chorin El Amisha Oisik B'Talmud Torah. So here the Gemara is taking it in a different sense. There would have been Cheros. There would have been freedom from the Umah Sa'olam with the Luchos HaRishonis. Also, it says in the Medrash Cheros from Malach Hamavas, they would have never died. So yeah, all of these things are included in Chorus Alaluchos. In Hayom Yom, for appropriately enough, Shiva Sabatamos, it talks about the milus of the Luchos Rishonis over the Luchos Shnias. And on the other hand, you have the milus of the Luchos Shnias over the Luchos Rishonis, that the Luchos Shnias, you have the advantage that Moshe's face was lit up with rays of light from the Shekhinah, and that they also received together with it halachos and agados and men midrashim and whatever. So in general,
Moshe's face lit up because he stayed who he is, but we
see. No, I don't think it says that. No. He got a special thing of kirun oponov that he didn't have before. But
there's too many interruptions, Alexander.
Yeah,
there's too many
interruptions. We do need to go, but we do need to go. But yeah, it's true. I mean, Bechlal, it's worth mentioning now that, you know, we're between Yom Kippur and Simchas Torah. Bechlal, you know, we know what the difference between Shavuos and Simchas Torah, the difference between the Luchos Rishonis and Luchos Shnias. At the Luchos Rishonis, the Jewish people were tzaddikim gemurim. At the Luchos Shnias, they were Baal Tshuva. And we know it talks about Chassidus. That's the reason why the Simcha of Simchas Torah is so much greater and exceeds the Simcha of Shavuos, is because the greatness, the Yisru Na'or Mitecha Choshech, that comes from having done the to Egel and then doing Tshuva and getting the Luchos Shnias. But here, the Gemara is mentioning, on the other hand, the Luchos Rishonis had certain advantages that we lost. Okay, onward. Amar Rav Masna, Mai Dichtiv Umi Midbar Matana. What does it mean? Rav Masna, appropriately enough, says a drasha about the word Matana, which is the same as his name. So what does the Pasuk mean when it describes the journeys of the Jewish people and of the well of Miriam? It says, Umi Midbar Matana, and from the Midbar, a gift. So what does that mean? Im mesim adam atzmik midbar zev. A person acts like a midbar, shah called doshin boy, which is open to everybody, and everybody can walk around in it. So in other words, again, he's humble and he gives his Torah freely away to other people. Then miskayim talmudim miskayim biyadei, then his learning will be preserved with him. V'im lav ein talmudim miskayim biyadei, if not, then it won't. So that's the matona, meaning the matona of Torah. So the Gemara tells in this connection about this pasuk. The Gemara says, "Rava braided of Yosef Achama, havale milsel of Yosef Ade." Rava, the son of Rabbi Yosef Achama. This is the regular Rava in Shas. Usually, we just call him Rava. Here, we're identifying him by his father and his grandfather's name. Rabbi Yosef, who was his Rebbe, had something against him. So the Gemara in Nedarim tells the whole story. The gist of it is that there was a Shaila in Halacha that came to Rava. He sent a question to Rabbi Yosef to clarify a particular detail in it. Rabbi Yosef sent back an answer. Rava said, that wasn't the detail I needed to know. I already knew that. I needed to know something else. And Rabbi Yosef was very offended by that. What do you mean you already knew that? That's not a derech eretz way to talk to your Rebbe. I already knew that. So Rabbi Yosef says, like, so if he doesn't need me, why did he even bother asking me at all? So Rava realized then that Rabbi Yosef was offended, so he wanted to come and ask Mechila. Ki mata mala yom de kippuri, when it came Erev Yom Kippur, Omar, Rava said, Ezel va'afai say, let me go and ask him Mechila. Also, the pashtas, I guess the rest of the year, Rava was busy teaching Talmidim and all, so he only had an opportunity, Erev Yom Kippur. Anyway, he went to Rabbi Yosef's house. He found that Rabbi Yosef's attendant, his Mishoris, was about to mix him a cup of wine, to mix it with water. So Rava says, have leave emzige, give it to me, let me pour it instead. And I know Yahav Lay, and I'll give it to him. Because we know, again, G'dola Shimusha Shal Torah Yosem Limud. It's more important to serve a Tamar Chacham even than to learn Torah by him. So Rava wanted that schus of Shimush Tamar Chachamim. So he wanted to pour the wine and mix it with water for Rabbi Yosef. I'll mix it myself. Yahavlay, so the Shamash gave it to him. Mazge, and Rava mixed in the water. Kidataime, when Rabbi Yosef, now Rabbi Yosef was blind, remember, so when he tasted, so he didn't know, he couldn't see that Rava was there, but when he tasted the wine, Omo, he said, Dami, hai meziga, le meziga de Rava bereid Rabbi Yosef achama. This wine is mixed with water the way that Rava does it. We find in various Gemaras that Rava used, that Rava was, Rashi says over here, Rava was an expert at putting exactly as much wine in order to make the wine taste the best it could. We learned in Shabbos, for example, that Rava says you have to have three parts water to one part wine. In fact, the Gemara mentions in Nida that maybe other people don't necessarily do it in that proportion. So Rava knew exactly how to do it in the right proportions. Yeah. Omalei anohu. So Rava says, this is I. I'm here. Omalei. So Rabbi Yosef. Now Rabbi Yosef was going to be moichel Rava, but he wanted to teach him a lesson in anivus. You know, Rava is going to be the leader of the next generation. He was the next after Rabbi Yosef passed away. Yadabaya was the next great Rosh Hashiva, and then after him Rava. So Rava is going to be the leader of the whole Jewish people. So therefore, so Rabbi Yosef needed to stress to him the importance of anivus, especially again. Remember, the whole story began where Rava said something that Rabbi Yosef considered to be a little bit chutzpahdik towards him. So he tells him, "Loi teisev akarach, don't sit down on your feet." Until you explain me these psukim. The Lord Teis of Akarach, it has a few meanings. It means don't sit down, stay standing on your feet. It can mean don't sit cross-legged, which is how they used to do it in those days. It can mean, there's an explanation, I think Ben Yehoyada says that, and we know that in the earlier times, they used to learn Torah standing up. So Rabbi Yosef is telling Rava, this thing that I want you to explain is so important that I want you to explain it in the way that they used to in the olden days, standing up. Anyway, Adam Faushusli Hani Kroy, until you explain me the following psukim. My dichtiv umi midbar matona, umi matona, we said before, umi midbar matona, from the midbar a present, umi matona nachliel, from matona to nachliel, umi nachliel bomis, umi bomis hagai. The pashtus, these are all places where the Jewish people and the Be'er Shomiriam went. But the one problem is we don't find these places listed in Parashas Maaseh when it lists all the journeys of the Jewish people. So what do these psukim really mean? So Rava says it means like this. If a person makes, like we said before, from a master, if a person makes himself like a midbar, where everybody steps around in the midbar, then the Torah will be given to him by the Eibishter as a present. The kivin shenitna loy matana, when the Torah is given to him as a present, nochaloy keil, then Hashem takes him as an inheritance. That's shenema matana nachliel. That's nachliel means the inheritance of Hashem. So we mentioned this psukim. We mentioned this pasuk in Pirkei Avos, Perek Vav. There, the brice over there in Perek Vav doesn't elaborate, but here the Gemara is elaborating what it means. The kivin shenochaloy keil, when Hashem takes him as his inheritance. Oyla legdula, then the result is eventually he goes up and becomes great. Shenema umiyunachli or bomos, because bomos means a high place. So Hashem gives him a high position. Then, though, what happens is, if he becomes proud and he becomes a Baal Gaiva, I have such a high position, then HaKadosh Baruch Mashpila, then Hashem lowers him down, Shenema, because the pasuk continues, when we bomos Hagai, from the high place down to the valley. But that's not the end of it. There is always a way out. If the person then does tshuva, then Hashem will lift him back up again. Shenema, because a different pasuk in Yeshaya says, Kogeh Yinose, every valley will be raised up. So even the person is in the valley after having been a Baal Gaiva, he can still do tshuva and Hashem will raise him up again. So that was the drasha that Rava said to Rabbi Yosef. And the point was, in other words, that Rava realized why Rabbi Yosef is telling him to darshan this, is that he should take a lesson from it. More on this topic. The pasuk says, your chaya, the word chaya can mean a wild animal. It can also mean a group of people. So your chaya lived in it. You, Hashem, prepare with your goodness for the poor person. So what does that mean? This is in Kapitel Samaches of Tilim. The psukim before that describe Matan Torah. Hashem b'tzeis chamiseir zes sinai mipnei Hashem mipnei alekim alekei Yisrael. So we have to be talking about the pasuk is continuing to talk about Torah. So what does it mean that they lived in it? It means im adam meisim atzmek chayazu. So if a person makes himself like a chaya, like a wild animal, which kills its prey and then eats it right away. And as Rashi says, it doesn't wait for spices or other flavorings or whatever. It just eats it right there on the spot. So in other words, the same thing, the person learns Torah and right away reviews it. Another version is shemasrachas v'icheles, that it makes the food filthy with dirt, like it drags it around in the dirt and then eats it. So in other words, here Rashi says it would mean either that, again, he's not a proud person, he'll just the food's not completely cooked, doesn't matter, I'll eat it anyway. Rashi also says another thing, masrachas is menabel atzmai al divrei Torah, like he's willing to make himself unattractive and all for the sake of words of Torah, as we're going to see on Amud Bey's examples of that. But Rashi says, I prefer the second explanation, because what do you mean the Talmid Chacham doesn't care if his food is not completely cooked? We find in other Gemaras that the Talmid Chachamim are very careful, that their clothing should be neat and clean, and that their food should be proper and whatever. So Marsha says, okay, it means when they're around other people, they're careful about that, because they don't want that people should make fun of Talmid Chachamim. But privately for themselves, they don't care if the food's not completely cooked, or if it's not spiced, or if it's not seasoned to their taste or whatever, because they just want to eat. They're eating just in order for the sake of being able to learn Torah. Anyway, so if a person acts like that, Talmudim miskayim biyodei, then his learning will be preserved in his hand. The imlav ain't Talmudim miskayim biyodei. If not, if he's more finicky about his food and it has to be prepared exactly right and whatever, and he doesn't review his learning right away, then ain't Talmudim miskayim biyodei. The im oisekei. Now, if a person does act this way, like a chaya, when it comes to learning Torah, he grabs it right away and learns it and reviews it and whatever. Hakadosh Baruch Hu oiselei suda ba'atzmai. Then Hashem makes him a suda by himself. By himself means Hashem personally does it. It also means that only he, the Talmid Chacham, gets to enjoy this level. Other people, not necessarily. Shenema, because the pasuk continues. Tochen b'teivascha la'oni alekim. You, Hashem, prepare with your goodness for the poor person. So in what way is the Talmid Chacham like a poor person? Number one, he acts like a poor person who doesn't care about the quality of his food and whatever. And number two, he acts like a poor person. It's not good enough that I learned it once. I have to learn it again and again like a poor person who's careful with every penny. The Pasuk says the one who guards the fig tree will eat its fruit. What does that mean? Lama nimshalu dibre Torah kateena. Why are words of Torah compared to a fig tree? Because ma te'ena zu, just like a fig tree, calls mancha odem mashmish ba motzeba te'enim, every time a person looks around on it, he finds more figs, because the figs ripen at different times. You have to keep on looking at the tree, and each time you find more ripe figs. But after the Torah calls mancha odem hoigabah, and the same thing, words of Torah, the more a person learns them and fartifsich in them, motzeba hen tam, he finds a tam in it. The Medrash actually refers to this pasuk when Moshe Rabbeinu was about to pass away and he wants Hashem to appoint maybe one of his sons as the next leader. Hashem tells him that no, Yeshua is the Noitzer Te'ena. Yeshua was constantly there in the Beis Medrash, like the person who's constantly looking after the figs, and he's the one who deserves to be your successor. Amar Rav Shmuel ben Achmeni, my dichtiv ayela sahovim v'yala schein v'gemer, a posik in Mishle that compares the Torah to a female deer, ayela sahovim, a beloved female deer, v'yala schein, and a graceful gazelle. So lama nimshel adibre Torah la'ayelas, why is the Torah compared to a female deer? Loy malach, because like this, ma ayola rach matzar, the female deer has a very narrow womb, a very narrow opening to her womb. The Gemara mentions in Rava Basra, for example, that the baby has a hard time coming out, and Hashem has to send a snake to bite it open, and so that the muscles loosen, and the baby come out anyway. So the entrance to the womb, the birth canal of an ayala is very narrow. So she feels very tight. So therefore, when the male deer mates with her, he has pleasure every time, just as if it was the first time. The same way, words of Torah are as precious to a person who learns them every time, no matter how many times he learns them, as if it was the first time. And the pasuk continues, v'yalaschein, a graceful gazelle. So what's the comparison? The word yalas is meloshen ola, shemalaschein alemdeho. The Torah brings up grace on a person. In particular, Marsha says, we just said on Amud Aleph that the Talmud Chacham is not always careful, with the quality of his food or whatever, at least Bein Levein Atzmai. So you would think like people are going to make fun of him, look at this schlump or whatever. But no, the Torah gives him a certain gracefulness. The pasuk continues, the same pasuk in Mishle continues, Dadeho yiravucha b'choleis, her breasts will satisfy you at all times. So lama nimshel u'divrei Torah ledad, why are words of Torah compared to a breast? Because ma dad ze kolzman sha'atidik mamash mishboi motze b'cholav, just like the breast, every time the baby comes to the breast and then starts sucking on it, motze b'cholav, he finds milk in it. After divrei Torah, kolzman sha'adam hoga behen motze ben tam, the same way words of Torah, every time a person is learning them, he finds a new time, he finds a new dimension of understanding in it that he didn't have before. One of the Mephoshim says also that it's not just that the baby sucking on the breast actually stimulates the milk production. The same way a person learns Torah and a person that other people learn Torah from him, that itself stimulates him to come up with new ideas in Torah. The same pasuk continues, Bahavasa Tishke Tomid, in its love you will be shoyge all the time. So what does shoyge mean? The Gemara says Kigon Rabbi Lazar ben Pedos. This is like Rabbi Lazar ben Pedos. This is the regular Amora Rabbi Lazar in Shas. Amru Olaval Rabbi Lazar Shoye Yoshev Oisik Batorah Beshuka Tachdan Shal Tzipori. They said about him he would be sitting and learning Torah in the lower market of Tzipori. Usdina Imuta Beshuka Elyon Shal Tzipori. Meanwhile his wrap is sodden, which is a kind of like a blanket or something that a person wraps himself in, would be in the upper market of Tzipori. In other words, like he forgot it there. He was so fatifed in his learning that he forgot his sodden over there. So that's that tishka tamid, tishka maloshin shoyge b'fesi, like a person who's careless and forgetful because he's so into Torah that he forgets about inyana olam hazeh. The Rambam describes it. The Rambam says, like, I have a person who's in love, nothing else in the world means anything to them. Everything, all they can think about is the one that they're in love with. That's how it should be. That's how a person should be with love of Hashem and with love of Torah, right? Tanya, Omer Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar. Pam achas ba'adam litloi. Speaking of, so we're saying that Rabbi Lazar forgot his sudden in the upper market of Tzipori. So what happened? Did somebody walk off with it? No. One time, pam achas ba'adam litloi. One time, somebody came and was going to take that sudden for himself. Umotzaboy sarav. He found a fiery snake guarding it. So in other words, Hashem wasn't going to allow that Rabbi Lazar's that because Rabbi Lazar forgot his clothing over there, his sudden, that therefore somebody's going to walk off with it. Hashem sent a snake to protect it. Tonad Verabonon, my dichtiv, a posik from Devorah's song, the posik says, Roichve asonos tschoros, those who ride on white donkeys, Yoshve al midin, those who sit on midin, Vahoche al derech, and those who walk on the road, Sichu, talk. The symbol meaning of the pasuk is she's saying how before the war against Sisera and Yavin, it was very dangerous to travel on the roads, and because the enemies would attack. Now that we're rid of that danger, then everybody come and speak of the greatness of Hashem and the nisim that he did. But the Gemara darshins roichvei asonis, those who ride on donkeys, elu tamed chachamim shemahalchem meir leir umimedina lemedina lilumed bo Torah. This is the tamed chachamim who travel. On donkeys from one city to another, from one country to another, lumad bo Torah, in order to learn Torah, heve golem kom Torah, as it says in Pirkei Avos. Tzchoros, the pasuk continues, tzchoros, tzchoros literally means white, but it means sh'osin osa katzaharayim, by doing that, they make the Torah as clear as the middle of the day. So tzchoros with a ches, tzaharayim with a hey, we often find that the Gemara darshins words with ches and hey interchangeably. So by going from one city to another and learning Torah in many different places, they clarify the Torah. Because as we said yesterday, a person learns Svara from different Rebbeim, and therefore they learn many different ways of many different approaches to understanding the depths of Torah. The pasuk continues, Yoshvei al Midin, those who sit on Midin, Midin Meloshin Din, Shadonin Din Em Eslamito, these are people who judge a true Din Torah in the true way. Where what's the Em Eslamito, Tosfos points out elsewhere, it means that sometimes you can have the Dayan realizes that the Bali Dinim or the Edim or whatever are speaking falsely. So he might say, what do I care? I have to cross-examine them appropriately. If I don't manage to shake them, then okay, I'll just judge according to what they said. No, Din Em Islam Mito, it would be that he first tries to ferret out the truth to make sure that they were saying the truth. And then based on that, decides the Din Torah. So that's the Yoshvei al Midin. Then the pasuk continues, Vahoche, those who walk. That means Elo Bale Mikra, that means the people who are experts in Mikra. So they're walking along, they're starting the process of learning Torah, but they're still on the way. Al Derech Elo Bale Mishnah, the ones who are on the road, are the ones who are experts in Mishnah. So they're on the road to learning and understanding Torah, but they still need more. Stichu Elo Bale Talmud, when it says speak, means the people who are experts in Talmud, in Gemara. Shekol Sichos and Divrei Torah, all of their speech is Divrei Torah, as we know, the famous expression, Afilu Sicha Shel Talmid HaChachamim Tzricha Talmud. Another thing, Amr of Shizmi Mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, my dichtiv lo yachrich remia tzedah, another pasuk in Mishlei, the remia, the deceitful person, will not singe what he caught. So in simple meaning of the pasuk, it means like this, that usually that when a person is catching birds, what he does is, each time he catches a bird, he singes off the ends of its wings in order that it can't fly away. Then he has that one, and then he does the next one, and so forth. The Ramai, the deceitful person, doesn't necessarily do that because he doesn't want to be caught with a lot of contraband like that or whatever. So he doesn't do that. But the result is he doesn't end up being able to accomplish anything useful because as he catches one bird, the previous one that he caught flies away. So what does it mean in terms of this, the Gemara Darshins? The word lo yachrich, the Gemara Darshins, as Meloshin, lo yichye v'lo yarech yomim tzayid haramai. A deceitful hunter, a deceitful trapper will not live and he won't have a long life. Meaning, what's a tzayid ramai? Rashi says, shemar b'begirsa v'enim achazer Allah. He learns a lot of Torah, but he doesn't take the time to review it. So therefore, he's like a deceitful trapper, where what ends up happening is each time he learns something new, the old one flies away. So therefore, lo yichye v'lo yarchem. Rav Sheshes says, on the contrary, the posik means tzayed haramai yachrich. The posik is like a rhetorical question. Lo yachrich remia tzedoy. Should the remia not be able to singe his catch? Of course he should be able to. Meaning, just the opposite. Tzayed haramai yachrich. The one who is deceitful, trapper should be able to singe his catch. What does that mean? Ki osir of dimyom, a moshal at sayed shetzad siparim, like a hunter who's trapping birds. Im rishin mishaber knuff, of each one as he catches it, if he breaks its wings, mishtamer, then it'll stay by him because they won't be able to fly away. Vim lab, and mishtamer, if not, then not. So the same thing. In other words, the pasuk is saying that he has to be like a deceitful trapper. In other words, he has to be a smother, not deceitful, but Just the opposite. In other words, he has to. Rav Sheshes is saying it's the opposite. You were saying before, Rav Shizbi was saying that the pasuk is referring to somebody who learns a lot of Torah all at once and doesn't take the time to review it, so he's going to forget it quickly. But Rav Sheshes says exactly the other way around. The pasuk is actually referring to the person who goes about it the smart way. He's orum badavo. He's smart about it, where he learns one thing and then he reviews it again and again until he has it firmly by him, like the trapper who breaks or singes the wings of the one bird in order to prevent it from flying away while he works on another one. Amar Rabba, Amar of Skarda, Amar of Huna, my dichtiv, hoin me hevel yimot, vekovets al yod yirbe. What does it mean? Another pasuk in Mishlei. A fortune can be made less by hevel, by nonsense. For example, a person wastes it on nonsense things. He doesn't take care. He's too busy with hevel to preserve his fortune. Vekovets al yad yirbe. But a person who gathers a little bit, handful by handful, will increase. What it means is, im oisa adam torase chavilos chavilos, if a person makes his Torah like huge bundles, where again, he learns a lot at a time, but he doesn't take the time to review it, mismayet, then it'll be reduced. So that's hoin me hevel yimot. Again, we're dashing in the word hevel as if it was meloshin hevel with a ches, because again, the hey and the ches interchange. So therefore, it means hoin, he has a fortune of Torah, a large amount, but me hevel, but he does it as one big bundle, therefore it ends up getting reduced and he ends up forgetting it. But on the other hand, v'im lav, but if not, if he does it piecemeal, kovitz al yad yirbe, by learning it a little bit at a time, a little today, a little tomorrow, and each time taking the time to review it, yarbe, then that will increase the amount of Torah knowledge that he has. Omar Rabba, so Rabba says in this connection, or Rava, it says on the side, Yadi Rabbanan Lahom Milsav Avriyala. The Rabbanan are familiar with what this says, but they're over on it. They know that what we're saying over here, that you're supposed to learn a little at a time and take care to review it, but they're over on it, and instead they try to learn a huge amount at a time. Omer of Nachum Yitzchok, Ano Avada. So Rav Nachum Yitzchok, on the other hand, says, I followed this advice of learning a little bit at a time and reviewing it carefully. The Ikayim Biyadi, and the Torah was preserved with me, so I was able to remember it. Now, there is a Gemara, this Gemara is also brought in Avodah Zarah, and the Gemara actually brings over there, there's actually a different Girsa, not Avadta, but Avarta, that I violated this, I learned a lot at a time, and yet it was preserved by me. So Marashar explains that what it means is, in other words, so first of all, why are the other Chachamim going against this? If they know that it's wrong to do it, why are they Bedavka going against it? And what does Rav Nachman Yitzchok, according to that, mean that I went against it? Because he's saying, in other words, it's not an absolute thing. Sometimes you can learn a lot at a time. And as long as you make sure that each time after you learned it a lot, you review it, then you will. Sometimes you can have, you have to be able to gather as much material together in a short amount of time because you may not have that much time to learn. So you work on learning as much as possible, and then you take your time afterwards to review it. So that's an alternate way of doing it. It doesn't have to be that you davka learn only a tiny bit and then you review it. You could also, an alternate way would be that you learn a large amount, but you learn a large amount. Right, you don't want to learn too little at a time, right? Because then you're right. Tana Rabbanan. Kate said Seder Mishnah. What was the order? How did it, when Moshe Rabbeinu taught the Torah to the Jewish people, how did it work? So it was like this. Moshe Lomad Mipi Agvura. First, Moshe learned a particular new thing from Hashem. The expression Mipi Agvura, by the way, the Alter Rebbe points out in Geres Yud, in Tanya, that the Torah comes down to us through Gvura. Torah itself is from Chesed of Hashem, but it has to be filtered down through Gvura in order to come into Olam Hazeh Gashmi and be mislabish in the different Gashmiistic things in our world. And therefore, learning the Torah is described as Mipi Agvura. So Moshe learned from Hashem. Nichnas Aaron v'shanalai Moshe Pirkei. Then Aaron would come in and Moshe would teach him what he just learned. Nistalik Aaron. Then Aaron would leave, not leave, Aaron would move to the side. Like this, he was sitting in front of Moshe Rabbeinu, because you're supposed to sit in front of your Rebbe when you learn. So then Aaron would move aside. The Yoshev l'smol Moshe, he would sit to Moshe's left side. Then Nichnasu Bonav Vashon Lahan Moshe Pirk, and then his sons Elazar and Isamar would come in, and Moshe would teach them the thing. Well, Bonav Apashas means it means Aaron's children. Vashon Lahan Moshe Pirk, and Moshe would teach them the thing. Nistauku Bonav, then his children would leave in front of Moshe. Elazar Yoshev Liyamin Moshe Vishamar L'Smol Aaron. Elazar would sit to Moshe's right. Isamar would sit to Aaron's left. So you have the order. Looking from right to left, you have Elazar, Moshe, Aaron, and Isamar. Rabbi Yehuda says no. Lo olam Aaron li min Moshe. Aaron would always be La'olam Aaron Limin Moshe Choyzer. Aaron would always go to Moshe's right. So yes, he would start by sitting at Moshe's left, because that's Derech Eretz. You don't sit to the right of your Rebbe. But afterwards, when his sons are going to sit down, then Aaron would get up and move to the other side of Moshe. We'll see soon. And the Gemara, we'll talk about later what's the machlokes. Next, Nichnasu Skanim Vashonalahan Moshe Pirkan. Then the Skanim would come in and Moshe would teach them the thing. Nistauku Skanim, then they would move to the side. Nichnasu 70 of them, yeah. Nichnasu Kolam, then everybody else would come in. Vashonalahan Moshe Pirkan, and Moshe would teach them what he had just learned. Nimtsu, so far we have Biad Aaron Abba. So far Aaron heard each thing four times with Moshe Rabbeinu teaching it, one in front of Moshe and three sitting to the side. Biad Bonav Shlosha, his sons heard it three times. Or Biad Askanim Shnaim, the Skanim heard it twice. Or Biad Kolam Echad, everybody else learned it only once. Nistalik Moshe, then Moshe left. Vashonalahan Aaron Pirkan, then Aaron learned. Then Aaron taught them what he had just learned. Nistalik Aaron. Then Aaron left. Shonalahan Bonav Pirkan, and his sons would teach what they learned. Nistalku Bonav. Then his sons would leave. Shonalahan Skanim Pirkan, and then the Skanim would teach everybody else. Nimtzi Yada Kol Abba. So it comes out everybody learned each thing four times. The Aaron learned it four times from Moshe. His sons heard it three times from Moshe and one time from Aaron. The Skanim two and two, and everybody else one and three. So Mikan Amar Rabbi Eliezer Chayav Adam Lashanes LaTalmidei Arba Pamim. So Rabbi Eliezer says, based on this, we see a person has to teach his Talmidim each thing four times. But Kavachomer, because we can make a Kavachomer. Uma Aaron Shalom and Bipi Moshe. Ma Doch Aaron learned from Moshe. Umoshe Bipi Agvura, and Moshe learned directly from the Eibishter. Kach, and still we see that they had to learn it four times. Hediot Bipi Hediot. If a Hediot learns from another Hediot, Alachas Kama Vakama, that you have to learn it four times. Not necessarily. Moshe himself may have learned it four times. Okay, I know. Rabbi Akiva, I mean, nine shechayev adam l'shanes the talmidei ad sheyilamdenu. Rabbi Akiva says, how do we know a person has to teach his talmid until he learns ad sheyilamdenu, until the talmid learns whatever it was thoroughly? Shenema v'lamda as bnei Yisrael. The pasuk says, teach it to bnei Yisrael. So it's not just enough, in other words, to say it out. You have to make sure that they're taught it, that they actually know it. Uminayin ad shtei struda b'fihem. How do we know that it has to be established in their mouths, like they should be able to say it over fluently? Shenema, because the pasuk continues, sima b'fihem, place it in their mouths. How do we know that the Rebbe has to show a face in it to what he's saying? In other words, not just say over the words, but show him how to understand, give him explanations and encourage him to, he shouldn't say, in other words, Rashi says, here's what I heard, now you figure out for yourself what the reason behind it is. The Rebbe should actually explain the reasons behind what he's teaching to the Talmud. Where do we see that from? It says, these are the mishpatim which you should place before them. So in other words, you place it as in you make it clear to them the reasons behind it. Okay, so the Gemara asks, in the Seder that we had before, the Ligmar Kulu Mi Moshe, why do we have to have that, and then Moshe leaves and Aaron teaches them and Aaron leaves and so forth? Why don't they just learn it all four times from Moshe? The answer is Kadeh Lachlet Kavod La'Aaron Ovanov Kavod L'Skanim, in order to give Kavod to Aaron and his sons and the Skanim, that they should all be part of the process of teaching Torah. So the question is, V'neil Aaron V'nigma Mi Moshe. So why don't we just have each one comes in one at a time. Aaron comes in, learns four times from Moshe. V'l'aylu Bonav V'ligmu V'Aaron. Then Moshe can leave, and then the sons can come in, and Aaron will teach them four times. Yeah. V'l'aylu Skanim V'leil Fumi Bonav. And then the Skanim will learn from his children. V'lezlu V'ligmurinu L'kulu Yisrael. And then Skanim can go and teach it to the rest of the Jewish people. The answer is, since given to Moshe V'piyag V'ra Gomar, since after all, Moshe learned directly from Hashem, Mistaya Milser, it'll help. There'll be a special Siyata Dishmaya that the people will learn it better and understand it better, or if at least they hear it one time from Moshe Rabbeinu himself. By the way, the Rambam writes that after we were done with all this process that we say over here, that wasn't the end of it. Then everybody would go and learn it for themselves and write down notes for themselves, and the Sorim would go around and make sure that everybody knows it better. Basically, you have to think, the whole 40 years in the Midbar was like one big yeshiva, one big open-air yeshiva. Okay, Amar Mar, so to finish off, we said, Rabbi Yehuda Omer La'olam Aaron Limin Moshe Choyzer. We said Aaron would always go to Moshe's right, meaning, in other words, again, he'd sit down first at Moshe's left, But then after his sons were going to move to their places, then Aaron would get up and move to Moshe's right. So the Gemara says, Kaman Ozla Hodatanya, which one? So there seems to be a machlokas. So which one does it go like this that we learn in a Braisa? Shloisha Shohim Mahalchan Badrenach. You have three people walking on the road. Harav Ve'em. So the Rebbe should be in the middle. The Godol B'yamineh V'kotten V'smoylei. Among the Talmidim, the greater Talmud should be on the right. The lesser Talmud should be on the left. Leimer of Yehudah Hivaloi Rabbanon. That seems to be only according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that Aaron, that once you have the sons there also, then Aaron has to sit at Moshe's right because he's greater than his sons. So, but according to the Chachamim, that Aaron stayed sitting at Moshe's left, then it sounds like this wouldn't work. The answer is no. Afilu Tamer Rabbanon. You could say it even goes according to the Rabbanon. In this case, Mishum Tircha de Aaron. The difference is because of Aaron's Tircha, it would be a Tircha for him to have to get up from one side of Moshe and move to the other. Therefore, in this case, he stayed sitting at the left. That doesn't show that normally when you have, to begin with, if you have the three people walking together, that you shouldn't have the greater one sit on the right. But in this case, where Aaron is already sitting at the left, then according to the Chachamim, he stayed sitting at the left. Okay, shkoyach everyone.